Heavenly Father, I just pray that you would be glorified today. I pray that everything we talk about and everything we discuss would be all about you. This is not about us. It's about you. We don't talk about your salvation without talking about you. So we just thank you, and I just ask, Lord, that you would be with us today and help us to have thoughts about you, and help us to certainly not be about the teacher and not be about the listeners or the brothers and sisters here, but help us to be about you. Help us to worship you and to thank you and to love you and to be close to you and to know you as we talk about your salvation today. So we just commit this to you and pray that you would get glory in all of it and all that we say and all that we do. In Jesus' name. I'll move this over a little bit. So, today we come to regeneration. This is actually, I think, probably the most important topic of this entire series. The reason I say that is because without regeneration, there is no salvation. We can talk about the gospel call, we can talk about common grace, sanctification, perseverance, all the things that we're going to talk about, and those are all obviously huge and necessary, but without regeneration, there is no salvation.
Amen.
So today, as we talk about regeneration, I want to sort of point it out like this. You had the kingdom of self originally, that's before you were saved, and the whole world revolved around you, and then we have common grace, gospel call, election before that. And if we draw this, with this being the point right here of regeneration, now we have the kingdom of God. So then we move on. So the point being is this right here, this is the new birth.
That's right.
This is what we're talking about today. Prior to this, again, we had thoughts, we had feelings, we had experiences. This is the total transformation that takes us into everything else. So, some points about regeneration is that this is not a debatable subject. We can't agree to disagree on this. There's certain things that we talk about in salvation that are essentials, non-essentials. I think it was Augustine who said, you know, in essentials, unity, in non-essentials, liberty, and in all things, love. This is an essential. This is really the difference that really defines whether we're actually believers or not. There's a lot of people that have a lot of different thoughts on various things. I've actually had some friendly conversation and debate with a Catholic friend of mine who wanted to agree to disagree on this. But without this, we can't be brothers and sisters in Christ.
Amen.
This is the combustion point. Okay, this is the conception point that we're going to get into. Who here, just by show of hands, who here knows exactly when they got saved, when they were born again? Raise your hand. Okay. Who here does not know exactly when you got saved? Okay, wow, that's interesting. That's a big, huge difference. So, I actually know when I got saved, but I'll talk about that in a minute.
That makes it difficult.
Not knowing?
Like in sharing your testimony, you can't say, you know, on this date and time, I said this prayer, and this is the change that happened. Because when you've grown up in the church, and, you know, you've gone forward to how many altar calls and how many VBSs, and you said how many prayers, well, one of them took along the way, but you're not sure which time.
Right.
You know, so trying to share that with other people, it's like, okay, I know that there's a change in me. I know there's a difference in me compared to the world, but.
Right. Well, here's the thing. This topic is so important that the thing I would like to throw out to everybody is, and again, obviously, by the show of hands and just by experience, I mean, we don't have to say this is exactly when I got saved, okay? And if I can't say that, then I'm not saved. However, I need to make it very, very clear, if you have not been born again, if you have not been regenerate, you're not saved.
Amen.
It's that simple. So the thing, go ahead.
Just one quick thing about that. None of us remember our regular birth, but we're here, you know?
True.
So it's kind of like maybe the same. Maybe we don't understand, you know, exactly what we've gone through.
Yeah.
But we know we were born, and we, you know, if you're a Christian today, you know that Christ has forgiven you of your sins. Yeah. And you made the choice to follow him.
Yeah, I think the reason why a lot of people don't know exactly when they got saved is because, or they were regenerate, is because this has to do with the heart and it has to do with sincerity. And it's that point in time where you actually come face to face with the Lord and you say, I believe. And that could just be, I believe. It could be sitting in the pew listening to Pastor Bob and all of a sudden you're convinced and you say, I believe.
That's right.
And you mean it in your heart. And in that single, simple statement, your entire life just transformed. When you said you believe, what you're implying is that I am going to repent. I'm going to turn to Christ. I'm going to live for him. My old ways are done. I am dying to self, and I'm moving forward with Christ. That can all be wrapped up in a simple thought, I believe.
But it's more than just I believe, because even the demons believe.
True. We're going to get into that.
But on the show of hands, you did not know the date. Were you all, what was the majority, were you raised in church?
Yes.
Good question. So was that really the, I mean, because to me, it seems like that would be a harder, you know, you're around it all the time, you hear it all the time, I believe, my mom believed it, my grand believed it, you know, whatever. If you aren't safe from this tragic life story,
right,
then it's harder to pinpoint. I was just curious.
Yeah, and again, another little warning there from the podium here. If you don't know, there's a difference between saying I can't say when I believe or when I was regenerate, okay? There's a difference between saying that and saying, I'm not really sure.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
If you're sitting here thinking, I'm not really sure, you must be born again.
That's right.
Okay. I got hands going up all over the place.
In my case, I don't know the date, but I know the event. I know when I did it, but I don't remember what day it was.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It wasn't as if you remembered the date on the purposes of that point. The significance might be to other people who heard them. It was such a big step for, especially as an adult, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the year, the date, the time. Mm-hmm. That seems to be very important for some people to say that. And I'm kind of like...
Yeah, the problem is it goes both ways. There's a whole lot of people that point to a date and a time and they're lost.
Right.
And it's because they prayed a prayer and nothing ever happened here.
Right.
Okay, they went through a religious exercise and said, okay, this is what everybody says I should do, and this is what they did, and so, you know, they did it, but they're lost. Totally,
right.
Yeah.
And
so
that's what I thought, and I was going to make, was that even though the majority of us that have been raised in churches, it's kind of like that tradition thing, you know, great-grandma did it. Grandma did it.
Right. Exactly.
You know, so I do it because.
And that is extremely common.
That's just exactly. I mean, so if somebody says to you, are you a Christian? You say, well, of course.
Right.
Well, how do you know you're a Christian?
Right.
I have fun.
So that's the question.
Right. Right. So let's look at the handout. What God means with words in the Bible like regeneration, born again, born of the Spirit, born from above, born of God, and know, K-N-O-W. I looked up Webster's just for grins, and it says to be formed or created again. Okay? The original Greek is to beget again. It's a new birth. Regeneration. We often only cite John 3:3 and Titus 3:5. Those are the real common verses that everybody, you know, points to, and they're wonderful, but... there's a whole lot of other sections of Scripture that talk about regeneration and the new birth. I handed out some little slips of verses. If whoever's got 1 Peter 1:23 can read that, please.
23 to 25. Can you read all
of them? Just do 23,
okay.
Please.
For you have been born again, not of seed, which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and enduring Word of God.
So you have been born again. Ephesians 2, 4, and 5.
But God, being rich in mercy,
because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved.
Right, so God made us alive. The words know and new, and by the way, Mike is going to have to like filter out all my little sniffles here in the microphone today. The words know and new, 1097 is gnosko, okay? It's an intimate core union or oneness with a person similar to that in sexual union. John 1027 says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me, okay? So what this is implying is it's a previous conception, okay, or a consummation. This is the point I was pointing to right on the board. Okay, this is the point of combustion, so to speak. There's a literal moment in time when regeneration happens. Before that, you were lost. After that, you're saved. It's literally a point in time. It's like a baby, you know. Somebody brought up a baby. There is, you know, with babies and conception, at a certain millisecond in time, that baby did not exist. And at a millisecond later after conception, that baby did exist.
That's right.
And it will always exist. Okay? So, that's gnosko. Genesis 4:1 in the King James says, Adam knew his wife, and she conceived. Okay? So again, it's this conception point. Matthew 7:23, I never knew you. It's talking about that point in time thing. It's not saying, I didn't know you like I know John the newspaper kid. It's like, no, I never knew you. It's referring to this oneness, this conception. Okay? John 8:55, who's got that?
I do. And you have not come to know him, but I know him. And if I say that I do not know him, I will be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word.
Right. And then I put another, a whole bunch of other verses there, but because I can never get through all this stuff in time, I just put them there for your reference if you want to look them up. So, again, this is referring to a point in time event. It's important that we understand that. It's a taking possession. This is why there's all kinds of sections in Scripture that say things like, he that has the Son has life. He that does not have the Son does not have life. This is not a subjective thing. This is not a wishy-washy, I sort of know God, I sort of don't. No, this is birth. It's regeneration. Okay. 1492, the Greek word eido, this implies an ongoing intimate experiential relationship with a person. Okay. 2 Timothy 1:12, I forget who I give that to.
I think Christ Jesus has given me a term, but he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service.
Okay. And then I didn't write this down, but can somebody read real quick Philippians 3:10? This is a really key verse on all this. Philippians 3:10.
That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death.
Right, so that I may know him. Paul was talking about that I may know him. That's this intimate oneness with God, okay? This is not that I may know him like I know my buddy, okay? The Hebrew equivalent I put in there, sort of funny, is the word yada, which is literally to know. So like if anybody watched Seinfeld and he says yada, 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 it's like, I know. You know? So it's funny what you find out when you study Greek and Hebrew.
Or
Seinfeld. I've never actually watched it. I've never actually watched one episode of Seinfeld, but I just know they said that. So anyway, there was a little illustration here. I used to have a men's discipleship group that I did for 4 years, and we had a Christmas party every year, and we had this one gathering in my basement 1 year, and there was this woman, Kathy Critson, who had just recently come to the Lord, and it was so cool because we were in my basement, and everybody's just like, you know, shooting the breeze together and having drinks and eating and whatever, and I overheard her tell somebody, she says, yeah, you know, she goes, I've always believed in God. That's what she said. I've always believed in God, but now it's like I actually know him. And I said, Kathy, you have no idea how deep theologically that statement was.
Right.
You know, but that is what we're talking about here. She said, I actually know him.
Right.
And she knew him intimately.
That's right.
So... why generation is mandatory? Because we were born into sin and death, and need to be reborn into spirit and life. So 1 Corinthians 15:22, go ahead and read that.
For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive.
Right. So you could do a whole study on this. The point being is you were in the race and lineage of Adam over here, okay, when the kingdom was self. It was all about you. You were born in Adam. You're born in sin. You're in the race of Adam. That's why you're going to die physically. You're going to die spiritually, okay? But over here, you're now in the lineage and the line of Christ. And again, you can do a whole study on that about the line of Adam, the line of Christ. It's a very, very good study. But it's mandatory because of your condition that you were in when you were born. You must be born again, okay, into the Spirit. One little point here, I think you guys are like, you're probably like, why is he making this point? It's like so simple. But there is no other way of becoming a Christian than by being born again.
That's right.
Period. Again, we don't agree to disagree on this. You must be born again. You must be regenerate. If you're not, you can attend church. You can believe all these things. You're not saved.
Amen.
Okay? Who performs regeneration? Regeneration is 100% an activity of God. We have nothing to do with regeneration. I don't turn around and regenerate myself. A baby didn't decide to be born. I don't decide to be born of the Spirit. I can call out for forgiveness and salvation, and I can surrender my whole life to Christ, which, by the way, we're going to get into next week. But I don't author my regeneration. God does that. He is the one who regenerates. He's the only one. So, John 3:8 speaks of us being born of the Spirit. Ephesians 2:4 and 5 says God made us alive. We read that before. So again, this is a work of God. When and how does regeneration happen? It's an instantaneous event. It's not a process. You don't sort of become born again. Okay, you're not on your way to becoming born again. Being born again is a instant in time. It's conception. Okay? I have never heard of a woman saying, I'm sort of pregnant. A woman either says, I'm pregnant, or I'm not pregnant. You do the little test on the little stick, and it's like, it doesn't say sort of. You know, you're getting there. You know? You either are or you're not. Some common misunderstandings about the question, when did you become a Christian? People will say, well, I got baptized when... That's not regeneration, okay? I've always been a Christian, okay? I asked a kid one time years ago, I used to deliver pizzas. I was an older guy, it was a big problem, but... I delivered pizzas, and there was this like 18-year-old kid, and he alluded to some things about, you know, possibly being a believer or whatever, and I said, hey, when did you become a Christian? He looked at me like, he's like, I've always been a Christian. I was raised in a Christian home.
Right.
And I'm thinking, dude, you have no idea.
You know? I assume you talked to him about it.
I think I did. It was a long time ago. I don't know. So I was raised in a Christian home. That's there. Or I started going to church. And then, you know, these things happened. So I started feeling really ooey-gooey. And we sang a lot of songs. And I just love this stuff now. You could have got saved somewhere in there, but that's not what makes you regenerate. Okay, this is not an experiential thing. Okay, there's a lot of songs out there like, you know, when I'm with you, I feel born again. That's not it. Okay, this is not that kind of a thing.
Is that really a song?
It's called a song.
It's Barbra Streisand.
Yeah.
Not a song.
It's a secular song.
Yeah. But there's a lot of, in our society, you'll
have one and have two. You don't have to have heaven. You can have heaven right here on earth.
Okay.
That's what he said.
In our society, you'll hear.
Born again, that's what he said.
Okay. You'll hear the term born again a lot as like this turning over of a new leaf or this experience, this feeling, this thing that you sort of like pull yourself up by your bootstraps and, you know, I really, really tried and I'm really feeling it and I really feel like I was born again. It has nothing to do with what Scripture is talking about.
Right.
Okay? Scripture is God regenerating you, conceiving you, just like your parents conceived you, and you basically went along for the ride. So that's what we're talking about. So these are just some things that you need to be aware of, because they're misunderstandings. They're very, very common in our society when people talk about being born again or being regenerate.
That, you know, there was a big thing probably, I would say, late 70s or early 80s, where a lot of Hollywood individuals, very popular people, talked about that type of thing, where they went to some service and had some experience.
Yep.
Right? And unfortunately, the church put them out front, and they did tours and sold books and did albums, and many of them just fell away, because
right.
that's all it was, is somebody kind of drummed up their emotions.
Right.
And it really wasn't the gospel. It really wasn't salvation.
Yeah. And that's a great point.
The whole album out.
Yeah, Dylan's a perfect example.
Yeah.
Look where he is now.
Yeah, and that's a very good good point, because in our current contemporary church, we have a lot of stuff, man, going on that's along the lines of entertainment
right.
and yanking your emotional chains and making you cry and everything else. And I'm not, you know, sometimes I'm not even poo-pooing all of it. What I'm saying is that those emotions don't make you born again.
Right.
They don't make you regenerate. Just because the feelings are so strong and you cry and you shed a tear and you sort of relate and, you know, all this stuff, you can resonate with what's being said and sung and all this other, that doesn't make you born again. You don't walk out of there and then come back the next week going, okay, I'm going to go here from now on. And so I guess I just became a Christian. That's not true. You became a Christian if and when you believe and you surrender your entire life to Christ, and He saves you.
That's
right. So,
and the flip side of that is I remember talking to individuals who didn't think they were saved because they never had this kind of,
right,
you know, otherworldly experience, until they doubted their salvation, because yeah. that was put forward so much. Well, something had to change. You had to have
exactly.
You'd get hit by lightning was one example of
yep.
a testimony I heard one time. You know, it's
yep.
like,
right. Totally. So, the results of regeneration. A new essence in life. 1 John 3:4-10. Can you read that?
Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness.
Tony, can you hand
but
me that?
You know that He appeared so that He might take away our sin. And in Him is no sin. No one who lives in Him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen Him or known Him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous.
That's right.
Just as He is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning, because he's been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother.
So that's an awesome passage of scripture. Point being is, if you notice, God's seed, this gets back to the conception, the new birth, God's seed is in you, okay, if you've been regenerate. So you have a new life, okay? God said, my sheep know me. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He didn't say you'll keep the commandments of the church. You'll keep my commandments. Okay, the commandments in Scripture. Scripture points to pure love of God. And this is different than religious people who are very loving. This is where we need to be really, really discerning with Scripture, because there's all kinds of people out there that are lost. They're religious and they're lost. But it's very tough when we point to their life and we say, well, they're so nice. They're very, very loving people. They really are. And Scripture says, well, you know, that's a mark of, you know, a child of mine is love. Well, wait a minute. It's like, you know, you got to sit here and discern between the two. I mean, there's a lady in our small group who has an aunt who's an atheist, a stated atheist, and she actually, she says of her aunt, she's like, she acts more like a Christian than most Christians I know. She's so loving. She'll give you the shirt off her back. She's very kind, very gentle, very other-centered, etc. So can we conclude she's a believer? No. We have to actually look at Scripture and say, what are the scriptural forms of love that make someone that identified Christian? Okay, so again, I won't belabor the point, but think of that. Bob's teaching in Matthew 12, 43 to 45 on September 21st, if you notice, and we'll read this in a second, but the man in this section was unoccupied. So whoever has that, read it.
When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest, but finds none. Then it says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds the house empty, swept, and put in order. Then it goes and brings with it seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first. So also will it be with this evil generation.
So the point being, when you're regenerated, you are filled with the Holy Spirit. You are occupied.
That's right.
Okay? When you hit this point right here, you are occupied. You're occupied by the Spirit of God. And while, you know, yes, I believe demons and Satan can oppress believers and really, really mess with us bad, I don't believe he can possess us.
Amen.
Because we're already possessed. We're already occupied. Okay? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says you are a new creation. Okay, old things are passed away. So this again means that, you know, when you're regenerate, the results are you're a brand new person. Okay, I remember when I got saved back in 81, I was pulling out of my sister's driveway. I had just prayed with my brother-in-law, Ron. And I had actually prayed before that, about a week before that, but I was new to all this, I didn't know what was going on. So I had kneeled about a week before that at my bed and prayed to surrender to Christ and ask for forgiveness. And then about a week later, I was at Ron's house. This is the same guy that was eating the hot dog, by the way. And when I pulled out of the driveway, I don't know how to say this because it was just like a weird thing, but for the first time in my life, I could just see, I could sense spiritually, like being outside of the world.
Cool.
Like it was almost like, you know, here's the planet and I'm up here looking down on the planet and I could see it for what it was for the very first time. I never felt that way before. Before it was sort of like I was in it. It's like I was in the pool of water, and so you're underwater and it's like you don't know what you don't know. But then when you're outside of it and you're looking at it, you could see it for what it is. So I don't know if anybody else here has had an experience like that when you got saved, but yeah, it's pretty powerful. So, lastly, what I want to share with you, and this is more along the lines of encouragement, this is a result of regeneration, getting saved. Two things. First of all, Psalm 103 is a fantastic psalm. I've actually taken it and memorized the whole psalm, personalized, so I've actually redrafted it. If you guys ever want a copy, I'll give you a copy, let me know. But I basically took all the things that were like third person and put them in the first person. So I said, you know, like instead of, you know, we or us fear God, I said me fear God. So listen to this. This is along the lines of the results of regeneration. He pardons all your iniquities. He heals all your diseases. Think of this right here. He redeems your life from the pit. He crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. He satisfies your years with good things. He renews your youth like the eagle. He is compassionate and gracious to you. He is slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness to you. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness to you. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed your transgressions from you. As a father has compassion on his children, so he has compassion on you. And that's not even all of Psalm 103, okay? But that's just one psalm talking about what happens, the benefits that you have in Christ, okay? And then what I did here is I made a list, and I wanted to get to this before the people had to leave, so I'm sorry. I made a list of the things, again, that are the results of regeneration. and the benefits that you have at this conception point. Okay? These are very important. They're very encouraging. I want you to just... there's scripture behind every one of these, but for sake of time, I'm not going to quote the scripture. I'm just going to state the point. And feel free to praise God. Feel free to thank Him. Feel free to shout amen, whatever you want. But listen to this. You are ransomed from an eternity in hell. You pass from death to life. For the first time, you experience God's effective grace. You are given the ability to immediately repent.
That's right.
You are forgiven of your sins for the first time. You die to self. The wrath of God is lifted off of you. You become righteous to God. You become justified to God. You are no longer condemned. Your relationship with the Holy Spirit is restored. You are literally a new spiritual creation. You get indwelt with the Holy Spirit in Christ. You are given a new heart, and with it a heart to love God. You get a new nature, God's nature. God's seed now resides in you. You are given power to not sin.
Amen.
Death is defeated in your life, and you no longer fear death. Satan is defeated in your life. You come out from among the world, separated unto God. You are a conqueror in Christ. You have a brand new identity. You now have a hope in a future. You now have peace beyond understanding. You now have joy unspeakable and full of glory. You are rich beyond this world's goods. Christ becomes your advocate. You gain an inheritance from God. You now have the freedom and ability to share the gospel. You can, for the first time, cast all your cares on Him.
That's right.
You can now begin to glorify and worship God in spirit and in truth. You can now call the awesome God and creator of everything, Daddy.
Amen.
You are given the ability to discern spirits. You are given the ability to seek after God. You overcome the world.
Amen.
You are given a desire and love for the Word of God. You will begin to demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit. You become a literal child of God. You are adopted by God. You begin a journey of perseverance. You are given spiritual gifts to serve with. Your spiritual eyes are opened to discern the Scriptures. You become a part of the family of God and get a new family, the family of Christ. God changes from being your judge to being your Father and Lord. And lastly, of course, you have eternal life. These are all the things that happen at the point of regeneration. So, praise God. That's all I can say. I'm done. So.
I'd like a copy of 1 minute.
Okay. What's that?
1 minute to spare.
Yeah, questions, comments, I guess.
You want to send
I'll do the Bert thing. Questions and comments.
You want to send it out to everybody?
Sure.
Send it to Tony, we can turn it out.
Sure.
That'd be great.
Yeah. I'd appreciate your prayers, by the way. 2 days ago, a guy that I work with, he's sort of my right-hand man. He's the only local technical resource I have. He died. And it's just been a really hard 2 days. So,
did he know the Lord?
No, I don't think so. And I've obviously been, you know, struggling with that because I shared the gospel with him a little bit, but not enough. And it's just been tough. So just his name is Russ. His wife's name is Lisa, so I would just appreciate if you could pray for their family and the whole situation. It's going to change my entire job and future. So
I got to step in there. When you say not enough, you can't really say that. You God regenerates. It's not your job.
I understand. Yep.
It's your whole lesson. It's not your responsibility.
Right.
God is gracious.
Yeah. I understand.
Well, why don't I close in prayer and I'll pray.
Sure.
Lord, thank you for this class and for this teaching, Lord, and that we've learned many new things of what we received at the new birth. Lord, we pray for Russ's family in this difficult situation, Lord God, and pray you would help Mike in his work situation to be able to work things out logistically with this. We pray Lord, for all of us, that we would be aware that at any time co-workers, friends, neighbors, Lord, could pass from this life, Lord. And we just pray not out of a sense of guilt or other negative things, but out of a desire to share the joy of your salvation with others. That it's a privilege to talk about you and not to see it as a drudgery or something we have to do.
But Lord, amen.
Change our hearts, Lord, me especially, is something we would want to do. In Jesus' name, amen.